Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Just reading what Cuomo's comments are today, and I'm not sure if he's making it any better for him when it actually gets into a courtroom. Hey, are doors or windows sticking at your place? Do you have cracks in the drywall, the brickwork? And if your basement walls aren't perpendicular the way they should be, then you are experiencing structural foundation problems. Call PermaSeal, 1-800-421-SEAL. Folks often call expensive consultants, but they don't do the work, and they're not PermaSeal. PermaSeal will send a licensed, certified structural expert out to your place. They'll give you a free evaluation, and when they then end up doing the work on your home, you're going to sleep well at night. When the thunderstorms come rolling through and you worry about the basement taking on water, or just any time when you worry about the structural integrity of your home. You know, PermaSeal gets a 4.9 out of 5 with over 5,000 reviews. I'll bet a lot of folks are calling 1-800-421-SEAL today just because they're getting water in their basement on the north side. For that free evaluation for a dry basement, 1-800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net. Permaseal.net. PermaSeal is known best for being better. You're listening to WGN Radio, and once again, Juliana Bruno is on a phone line, a reporter with News 10, that's WTEN, in Albany, New York. She was on with us last week as we talked a little bit about the possibility of the governor resigning or being impeached. Juliana, welcome back to WGN in Chicago.
Thank you for having me.
So we understand that the governor is stepping down. What else do you have to report about that decision today?
Well, what's interesting about the timing of that decision is about an hour, less than an hour before I had been at the Capitol at the Assembly Chambers to interview a member of the Assembly Judiciary Committee, which is that group charged with finding grounds to impeach Cuomo. And the lawmaker that I spoke with, Republican Assembly Member Mary Beth Walsh, said that they still had no indication that the governor had any sort of intention of resigning, that they were prepared to spend a lot of money on these attorneys, prepared for a process to prepare articles of impeachment and present them to the full assembly. So this sort of came out of left field. And the only indication that I had that the governor was possibly going to resign were the comments made by his attorney, Rita Glavin, right before he made his live announcement.
And what was that?
Well, she was once again on the defensive, accusing the attorneys who put together the attorney general's report, the attorneys who investigated those claims of sexual harassment. She once again questioned the integrity of that investigation, was also on the defensive of the governor's alleged actions. She said that, you know, once again, he's been hugging and kissing people his whole life and talking about how, you know, while he's sorry for making the women feel this way, she believes that a lot of these actions that were included in the report were not grounds for impeaching a sitting governor, and that there were some issues she had obtaining the evidence from the Attorney General's office and from the Assembly Judiciary Committee, because by Friday, the governor would have to turn over any evidence he wants the Assembly Judiciary Committee to consider in their impeachment investigation. And at the end of her remarks, she basically said the governor has been treated unfairly. He hasn't gotten the time and the resources he needs to come up with a proper defense for himself. But she didn't say what the next steps were. She simply said he's not being treated fairly, but he's sorry. So that to me was like, okay, what's the next step here? And immediately after that, the governor's remarks began. And he was getting, you know, emotional. He sounded a little choked up as he was getting through that.
Your read on it was, though, that he was going to be impeached, right? That the House, what is it, tried in the House and voted on by the Senate, or who would actually cast the votes?
The assembly would have to vote by a simple majority whether to move forward with articles of impeachment. And we already know that the number of lawmakers who had publicly said they would vote to impeach was well over the simple majority. So there was no question that those articles of impeachment would move forward. The Attorney General's report was just focused on sexual harassment allegations. However, the Assembly Judiciary Committee is looking at the sexual harassment allegations, as well as allegations that the governor prioritized scarce COVID tests for his friends and family, that he misled the public about the severity of COVID-19 in nursing homes. So they're looking at kind of a broader scope of actions that have been alleged the governor took over the past year.
You can't help but marvel at how quickly the famous fall, right? I mean, he was America's governor during the beginning of the pandemic. We watched across the country his daily press conferences, which were, of course, for New York. Why do people in Illinois care? But yet we all followed his daily press conferences. There was talk about him actually sliding into the Democratic field as a front runner for president, for crying out loud. He seemed to be doing everything right. And his quippy personality actually was charming at the time.
And that was something that he actually brought up in his live remarks today, because one of the women that were included in the AG's report as, you know, as an accuser was the woman who performed a COVID test on him with the nasal swab live on air during one of his press conferences. And he said to her, "You make that gown look good," referring to the surgical gown she was wearing when she performed the test. She found it inappropriate. He said that he brought that up in his remarks today and said he thought he was just being funny. He obviously didn't mean it in a way that was trying to demean her. But again, it seemed like at the time that was something people, that sort of attitude, that sort of lighthearted quips during a really serious time, people found comfort in that. But it's become clear now that most people find these actions you know, irredeemable, and the preponderance of the evidence and the corroborated stories of these women have really resonated with New Yorkers and with lawmakers.
You know, I don't know, maybe you can comment on this. I don't know if we can know, but it's not the honeys and the sweethearts and the darlings and the "you look good in that gowns" that cost him his governorship, is it?
I personally don't believe so. I believe it's the allegations of groping, of touching, of these inappropriate relationships between a man who is the most powerful politician in the state and then these younger women who work for him.
Right.
I believe that in the context of those things, maybe the honey and the sweetie and the hugs and kisses feel a little bit different, right? But I do believe that it's not just those little things that added up, because maybe we never would have even thought about those old man-isms that he had about him if it weren't for these other more serious allegations.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I have the full body of that quote that you referenced there. I want to read it. Governor Cuomo said today, "This is not to say that there are not 11 women I truly offended. There are. And for that, I deeply, deeply apologize. I thought a hug and putting my arm around a staff person taking a picture was friendly, but she found it to be too forward. I kissed a woman on the cheek at a wedding and thought I was being nice, but she felt it was too aggressive. I have slipped and called people honey, sweetheart, and darling. I meant it to be endearing, but women found it dated and offensive. I said on national TV to a doctor wearing PPE and giving me a COVID nasal swab, 'You make that gown look good.' I was joking, obviously. Otherwise, I would not have said it on national TV, but she found it disrespectful. I take full responsibility for my actions."
Right. And I think it's always been a little confusing. His sort of defense all along is that he's sorry for making them feel this way, but he didn't mean to, because he's even acknowledged himself that it doesn't matter the offender's intent. It's what the person receiving it feels, how it makes them feel. So I think that is, you know, that one quote is really telling of his stance on all of this.
But I also just wonder if this is an example, though it's not a red herring per se, but he is commenting on something that's not going to cost him his career. The things that are going to get him in trouble are not honey and sweetheart and darling, or a kiss on the cheek, although that violates a person's space, Governor, and if you haven't figured that out, maybe it does cost you your job. But it's, I think the power dynamic is what you're alluding to, is the thing that a person in power needs to be the most sensitive about. So if it was a colleague, people in a similar position, at least the the exchange is different, right? It's not the boss and you have to endure it. You could punch that guy in the shoulder and say, hey, cut it out, and there's no consequences. So you have to be aware of that when you're the governor.
Right. And it also goes back to, you know, there were parts of the Attorney General's report that talked about this toxic or hostile work environment that many people described in the executive chamber and working for the governor. And you have to wonder how much that played into these victims staying silent for as long as they did, or, you know, making the governor feel like he could get away with these types of quips and conversations because they didn't want to rock the boat. They wanted to keep their job. So I think that plays a big role in that as well.
What's with the 2 weeks then? Why does he not resign immediately? I presume your constitution allows for the immediate dismissal of the governor and somebody stepping in, right?
Yeah, I mean, unclear. I'm not going to say it's not a calculated move, because I think all along, looking back at the timeline of his what ultimately led to him resigning, I'm sure there was a lot of planning that went into that. There are a lot of questions. Is the impeachment probe going to continue with these 14 days? Could he be impeached or banned from future office after a trial post resignation? So there's a lot of questions now, and that's sort of what myself and my fellow reporters are all digging into. Right now, I'm trying to get some reaction from our officials here in Albany. And one thing that's interesting is the district attorney's office has already said they're not going to comment on the governor's resignation. They're currently working with the Albany County Sheriff on a criminal complaint that was filed by one of Governor Cuomo's accusers. So a lot of questions remain, and it's going to be wild to watch this all play out.
Juliana, one of our listeners texted in and asked if he gets to keep his pension if he resigns.
That is something that I have also been working on and wondering. I believe he keeps his pension if he resigns and if he's impeached. And two lawmakers here are trying to make a constitutional amendment to the New York State Constitution that would make it so that if he's impeached, he does lose his pension. And that would be retroactive, because you can't get that through the legislature in less than 2 years. So, you know, that was the other thing. People were saying, why doesn't he just resign, keep his pension? And I guess that's another thing that we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, this wouldn't be the first time that a chief executive gets impeached after they've left office. And then what are the consequences of that? And by the way, in Illinois, our impeached governor is fighting to actually get not reinstated, but he wants to get some of his constitutional rights back, like the ability to run for office. So I suppose these issues are still germane even after he resigns. Who knows? They might yet impeach him. That's kind of an intriguing set of calculations for everybody. And then the civil case will proceed, or cases. Any of these women, I guess, can bring up charges against him in civil court and criminal proceedings in at least three counties the last time we spoke, right?
Right. Multiple counties around New York State have said that they're working with either working with accusers who have filed complaints, or are welcoming anyone who wants to come forward with their complaints. And that was one of the things the DA said when she first came out with her report, was that they're not bringing any criminal charges with all of this, but victims certainly have the right to take the action that they find appropriate.
Governor Cuomo is resigning, stepping down in 14 days. And Juliana Bruno is a reporter at WTEN in Albany, the News Nation correspondent out there. Thanks for your time today, Juliana. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
She stepped outside to take our call. It's time for WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.